Good morning. Today's Daf and Tanis Chafav. We're going to be finishing up the third parak of the Masechta. Beginning the fourth parak, we have a little bit more to go. We are towards the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Beis. We are the first wide line at the two dots. Tanu Rabbanan, the discussion. We are starting at the first wide line. Tanu Rabbanan, the Mishnah. Went on to discuss already the idea that the fast day was established, instituted, and then it turns out that we didn't need to fast. The rain came down. So at what point in time are we in too deep? Are we at that point in time locked into having to just finish off the Tanit Sibur? So a discussion in the Mishnah. And the Braisa here is going to have the same discussion with just a little bit more details and a couple more Shitas, or actually one more Shita. Anyway, Tanu Rabbanan, we're going to start with the Braisa. Yimasan v'yardolem gesham kodem anetzacham lo yishlimu lachar anetzacham yishlimu div Rav Meir. So Rashita's Rav Meir is that the cutoff point is going to be anetzacham, a sunrise. And that means to say that according to Rav Meir, let's say a fast was established. Remember, the fast is established already the night before. We had the Kabbalah's Tainis that took place the day prior, the afternoon, right, during the Zman Mincha, during actual Mincha itself. And so now, so when are we locked into fasting? So let's say it rained after Netzachama. So at that point in time, once Netzachama comes around, so we are locked into fasting. And even though it's raining and quite, we don't need to fast, quote unquote, but it's too late, we're locked in. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kodem Chatzos Lo Yishlimu Lachar Chatzos Yashlimu. Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that the cutoff point is going to be midday. So that means to say that if it's raining prior to midday, so good, we can call off the fast. After midday, so it's too late. We're locked into the fast. What's the significance of midday? So the significance of midday is that basically that's the first meal. Now, I know we've been told many times that breakfast is really important. It's the most important meal of the day. Okay, that's, you know, fake news. So the, okay, sorry. But back in the Bizmana Gemara, so they had two meals a day. And the first meal of the day took place around midday. So what we call lunch was basically the first meal of the day. I'm sure they ate something in the morning. But in terms of like an actual meal, so lunch represents the first real meal of the day. And so as a result of that, so that's why Chatzos becomes significant according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because once midday has rolled around and you've skipped your first meal, so that means to say that you're fasting. And so even though it's now raining and and we don't need to fast anymore, but at that point in time, we're locked in. And now what we get here in the Braisa is a third Shita. Rabbi Yossi Amar Kodem Teshaos Lo Yeshlimu. So Rabbi Yossi says it's the ninth hour of the day. Ninth hour of the day, that's the afternoon already. That's into the afternoon. The sixth hour of the day is from 11 to 12 on a perfect day. And so you're talking ninth hour of the day, so you're talking 3 hours later. Now, why is that significant? So we have a pasuk in Tanakh. So Achav, so what he did is that he fasted only from the ninth hour and on. Shenemar Hariosi Ki Nechna Achav. Okay, so that's we are in the 21st parak of Malachim Aleph, in which Achav, who was to say the least not a good king, his wife was even worse. She was a really terrible influence on him. Anyway, he wanted the next door neighbor's vineyard. Navos. Navos owned a vineyard next door. He wanted it. Navos refused to sell it to him. It's ancestral land. Refused to give it to the king. So the king was really upset. Anyway, his wife took care of Navos, killed him, set up two false witnesses testifying about Navos, ended up killing Navos. Anyway, the Navi goes over to Achav and says, you didn't do good. And so Achav recognized, and for a moment in time, so he did tshuva. Anyway, but he fasted. The point is that at the end of the parak, he fasted, and he did tshuva, and his fasting occurs only after 9 hours into the day. Now, why is that? So Rashi over here explains, because kings do not have their first meal until 9 hours into the day. So why are they 3 hours behind? So Rashi says, we know why. Because kings don't get up until 3 hours into the day. Right? Remember the Gemara in Brachos that describes how you have to say Shema when people wake up. That's the Pasuk in the Torah. So Uv Kumecha, when you get up. So the Gemara goes on to describe over there that extends until 3 hours of the day. Why? Because kings get up 3 hours into the day. Now, we already got done saying that our first meal is 6 hours into the day, but that's for you and I who get up at dawn or at Nates. But the king gets up 3 hours later, so everything for him is delayed and postponed 6 hours later. So his first meal isn't coming into 9 hours of the day. And Rav Yossi then, it's an interesting shita, Rav Yossi says, based on that schedule, so therefore we're not locking into a fast until 9 hours into the day, which means that if it rains prior to that, So then we can call off the fast. Even though what we described is only the schedule of kings. It's not the schedule of you and I. Okay, but nevertheless, the king's schedule is going to inform us in terms of when the critical times are. Again, it's not crazy, meaning we just saw by Shema that the king's wake-up time is going to inform us in terms of when's the last time to say Shema in the morning. Okay, so we saw it by Shema, and we see it here as well. Okay, a number of quick stories to end off the first perek. Rav Yehuda Nisi Gazatanis of Yadol Mekshamim La'achar Neisachama. So Rav Yehuda Nisi, the grandson of Rav Yehuda Nasi, so he instituted a fast, and it started raining. But it started raining after Neitzachama. Savar la'ashluminu. So everyone thought, okay, we have to be mashlum. We have to finish the fast. Amale Rabbi Ami kodem chatzos v'achar chatzos shaninu. And Rabbi Ami says no, because we are of the position that the critical time when you're locked into fasting is only before and after chatzos. And so that means to say that it rained before chatzos, and we're fine. We don't have to finish off the fast. Another story, Shmuel Katan Gazar Tanisa, V'yardalem Geshamim kodem Neitzachama. So Shmuel Katan set up a fast. Shmuel Katan, we're going to be learning later in the next Masechta in terms of instituting the 19th bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. Anyway, so he instituted a fast, and it started raining before Neitzachama. So Kisver Ma'am Lamar Shivcha Shotzibarhu. So everyone wanted to take credit. Look, in other words, we didn't even fast, and it started raining. We're doing good, right? So Amal Em Shmuel Em Sholacha.
Rabbi, where are you saying? I can't hear. Where are you reading now?
Okay, I'm about seven lines from the bottom. An Chav Hamad Beis. Amr Lehem Emshol Chamash Lamad Avadami says, okay, let me give you a mashal. What is this comparable to? Levish Mevakish Pras Mirabo. So it is like a servant who is asking something from his Rebbe. Amr Lehem Tenulova Al Emsha Kolo. And so the Rav says, look, I don't want to hear from him. Just give it to him and I just don't want to hear from him. So basically what he's saying to the people is don't take so much credit for yourselves. Meaning if Akash Baruch Hu really wanted to hear from us, so he would have allowed us to fast. Because with fasting obviously comes tefillah, and then you know we're gonna have a conversation. Akash Baruch Hu says, I don't want that. That's how Shmuel HaKatan basically wants the people to know, don't take too much credit. Shuv, Shmuel HaKatan Gazar Tanisav Yardalim Kshamim Lachar Shkiyas Achama. Another occasion where they made another fast instituted by Shmuel HaKatan. It started raining after Shkiyas Achama. Kisver Ma'am Lamar Shivcha Shotzibarhu. Once again, people wanted to take credit. So Am Lam Shmuel Lo Shevach Shotzibarhu Ela Emshal Chamasha Lama'ad Avedoma. Once again, Shmuel HaKatan says, allow me please to give you a little bit of a mashal to explain to you what's happening over here. Levish Mevakish Pras Mirabo V'Amar Lehem Emtina Lo Ad Shismak Mek V'Yitztayim. So the person, Nevin, is asking for some sort of gift from the master, and the master says basically let him suffer a little bit. Ve'achachach tenulo, and then afterwards you'll give it to them. So over here again. So even though yes we fasted and yes we davened and yes it rained, but if we were really in a better position, Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have us going through all that to begin with. Ushmol katan. So now for Shmuel Katan, so obviously he's not that quick to give out praise. And so the question arises, at what point exactly is he going to be giving any praise? So the Gemara says, Hechidami, Amar Mashiv Aruch Venashiv Zika, Amar Murid Agesh Vasa Mitra. So a number of occasions over the course of this third parak, we saw this, where certain Amoraim were given this kind of kawach, where they just simply say the words Mashiv Aruch and the wind starts blowing. And Morad Hageshem, and the rain starts coming down. Okay, at that point in time, Shmuel Katan would be ready to give some sort of shevach, but not any time other than that. Ma'aseh v'gazer tanis b'Lod, and then we're going to go over the last story in the Mishnah where there were gozer tanis in the town of Lod, and it turns out that it rained, and it was before the critical point where they were locked into a fast day. And not only did they not fast, but just the opposite, they had a simcha and they said halal. And the Gemara is just going to comment v'neima halal mi'ikara. The Gemara's question over here is just a simple question of order. In other words, what they did is they had a big meal, and then they said halal. The Gemara wants to know, maybe we should do the opposite. Maybe we should say halal and then have a big meal. So, Abai v'Ravad Amritav V'Ayilafi Shein Omrim Halal Ela Al Nefesh Svea V'Keres Malea. So, Abai and Rava both say that we have a cloud that when you say halal, so you say it only after you're full. Rashi says, Mitoch Shekasav Bo Nosim Lechem L'chol Basar. So Rashi explains, because look, what do we say in Halal Gadol? First of all, what is Halal Gadol? So how long ago? That was the 136th chapter of Tehillim. And so we're familiar with it. We say it on Shabbos. It's part of our Pesukah de Zimra. So we say it at the Seder night, and we say it, well, they said it when they, it turns out that they didn't need to fast. So, and included in it, of course, is Nosim Lechem L'chol Basar. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives bread to everybody. And so it's just more appropriate that you say that as you're satiated, as you're full, right? Could be, it's just a suggestion on my part. I don't have any sources, but it could be that that's our minhag also in terms of Seder night, meaning, so when do we say Halal Gadol? We say Halal Gadol after we eat, after the Seuda. So it could be that that's also informs us in terms of when's the appropriate time to be saying the Halal Gadol on Seder night as well. Ini, the Gemara says, is that true? We're on the very top of Chavavim and Aleph. V'ha, Rapapa, Ikla, Lebe, Kanisha, Dabi, Gubar. V'gazu, Tanis, V'yardolem, Gshamim, Ad, Chatzos, V'amra, Halal. V'achachach, Achlu, V'shasu. So the Gemara over here is just bothered by a simple question, and that is that there was a fast day that was imposed in the city, and it rained, and they didn't need to fast. They weren't locked into the fast, and again, they turned it around, and what they did is that they said halal and they ate. The only question the Gemara has over here is the order, in which first came halal and then came the eating. So the Gemara says, but we just learned together that the order should be flipped, that in the event that we had a positive turnaround, first you should eat, and then you should say halal. Meanwhile, over here, in this town, they did the opposite. So the Gemara says, Shani b'nei b'chuzah d'shchiche b'ushechros. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in b'nei b'chuzah, so then when they eat, so they drink too much. Okay, just the minhag of b'nei b'chuzah, and they drink too much, and Rashi says, and as a result of that, they're just not going to be saying halal because they're just going to get way too intoxicated. Ha'adrenalech seder tani yoseilu, that is the end of the third parak, and here we are now beginning the fourth and final parak of Masechta Tanis. And about a week left in the Masechta. Yeah. So, not even. So, here in the fourth parak, so we're going to go back to Taneos. We're going to go back to fast days and the ones that unfortunately we're more familiar with. The fast days that occur in terms of Zechor Chorim Beis HaMikdash, reminding ourselves of the various stages in the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, other tragedies as well, and other fast days as well. So all these are going to be coming up, including also the halachas of these fast days as well. So this fourth parak of Tanis to us is going to represent the most in terms of halacha l'maisa, right? Under the fast days for the lack of rain. So, I remember one of my years in Eretz Yisrael. So there was a real drought, and I remember that there was fasting, but not like the way it was been described up until this point in time in the Masechta. Whatever they have a kol korei. They certainly have a fast day, but Not the way we described it. And then the third parak as well. So it's, you know, it's once upon a time, they fasted in these manners, but generally speaking, nobody is interested in imposing a fast day. We're not good fasters. I know I'm not. I'm okay. But generally speaking, we're not good fasters, and so nobody wants to impose a fast. However, there are certain fast days that are on the calendar, reminding ourselves of Churban Beis HaMikdash and other tragic events. And so those fast days are set on the calendar, and that's what we're going to be discussing over here in this fourth parak. And so the third time in this Masechta, all the Mishnayos get front-loaded. In the second and third parak, and now here in the fourth parak, so all the Mishnayos are front-loaded in the beginning of the parak. Why is our Masechta not following a standard pattern of breaking up the Mishnayos and then the Gemara commenting on each section? So I don't have a great answer, but that's the minhag of Masechta Tanis. All the Mishnayos get front-loaded, except for the first parak. Okay, so I don't know what happened. B'shlosha parakim b'shana kohanim nosim eskapeim arba pamim b'yom. So three times a year, so the kohanim are going to do the mitzvah of nesias kapayim. Nesias kapayim, duchening, what we call duchening. Okay, so the kohanim are going to bless the people, and they're going to do so arba pamim b'yom, four times a day. So first of all, we Ashkenazim have no idea what the Mishnah is talking about over here, because we Ashkenazim have done away with duchening. One of the mysteries of the Ashkenazi community, in that we did away with duchening, right? When do we do that? How do we do that? I don't know. All right, it's told of the Vilna Gaon that he really wanted to bring it back. In other words, it's kind of a mystery. It's an Ashkenazic mystery where it went, and the Vilna Gaon wanted to bring it back. So he was partially successful. So for the partially successful for the Ashkenazim outside of Eretz Yisrael, so he was not successful. We Ashkenazim only duchen on Musaf of Yontif. I've told you this before. Do you know why Musaf of Yontif? So the Rama writes. I don't have the Rama in front of me, so I'm paraphrasing over here. So I apologize if I'm not presenting it perfectly well, but the Rama writes that the that it's really at the reason why we don't duchen in general is because we're not happy. You have to be besimcha, and us Ashkenazim, so we struggle with happiness. Okay, okay. It's unfortunately funny because okay. Anyway, so the so that's why we don't duchen on a daily basis. And Yontif, obviously, there's a mitzvah of simcha, so on Yontif, so we have some element of happiness. But the Rama says, but we're not happy all of Yontif. Or let me say it a little bit more. Let me say it a little bit more fairly. In other words, on Yontif. So in other words, yeah, the height of happiness on Yontif is Musaf. Now, why? So this is where this part's funny and true. And the Rama writes it. It's because Musaf basically davening is almost over, and we're going to go home and eat. So the Rama writes at that point in time, it's Yontif, and davening's almost over, and we're about to go eat, and so it's at that point in time that we can achieve the levels of happiness where we're going to duchen, and that's minhag Ashkenaz. So that's for us Ashkenazim. Where was the Gaon successful? The Gaon was successful in Eretz Yisrael. So many of the students of the Vilna Gaon made their way to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, so they follow minhag Gra. And so minhag Gra, so the Gra really wanted duchenim to restart, and in that regard, he was successful. So you go to Eretz Yisrael, and so on Shachris every morning in Eretz Yisrael, so you're going to see everybody duchening. Sephardim, Ashkenazim, everyone's going to be duchening. Okay. A little bit of a halachic history lesson in terms of duchening. So meanwhile, the Mishnah over here says that three times a year, we're going to be duchening four times a day. Meaning four times a day, what does that mean, four times a day? Meaning for every one of the tefillos. Now, how many tefillos are there in the course of a day? So let's think this through. There's Shachris, there's Mincha. So that's two. So how do we get to four? So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to be bothered by that very simple question, and we're going to explain that a lot better. But the point is that there are going to be some times where the Kohanim are going to be duchening not just Shachris, but on other occasions on that very day. And we're going to explain this better in just a moment. So nosim eskapem arba pamem b'yam b'shachris b'musav b'mincho v'ni'il ha'sha'arim. So four tefillos that we could be discussing. We could be talking about Shachris and Musav and Mincha and ni'il ha'sha'arim, what you and I call ni'il. So for these four tefillah, so the Kohen is going to be duchening. Again, we're going to clarify this a lot better as we get to the Gemara. So at this point in time, I'm going to leave it a little bit ambiguous right now, and we'll come back. Betanis of Amama, dos of Yom Kippurim. So when are the three occasions where the Kohen is going to be duchening all day? And basically, fast days. Fast days is where the Kohen is going to be duchening at every juncture of the day, every tefillah of the day. So first of all, Taneos are formal fast days. What we've been discussing now over the course of this Masechta. So in the case where it is a fast day, the Kohanim are going to be duchening on every davening occasion of that day. Ma'amados. Now, what are ma'amados? So the answer is that we alluded to it earlier, but here's the day. Right? Today's daf, Tanis Chavav, the beginning of the fourth parak. So we're going to be discussing ma'amados much more formally. So I'll come back to it in just a moment. But anyway, right now, suffice to say, it's a fast day. Okay, right now we don't know what ma'amados are, but suffice right now to say it's a fast day. Because it's a fast day, so the Kohanim are going to be duchening at every tefillah opportunity. And finally, Yom Kippurim. Now, Yom Kippur is also a tannis, it's also a fast day. So it's interesting that the Mishnah here puts it in its own separate category. But anyway, because it's a fast day, so the Kohanim are going to be duchening at every opportunity. Okay, so we're about to go over ma'amados, but Before we start with the ma'amados, so what's the point of the Mishnah? It's very simple. The point of the Mishnah is that if we're not eating today, so then Kohanim are going to be duchening every tefillah opportunity. Meaning, Kohanim are duchening at Shacharis, that's fine. Because at that point in time, nobody's eaten anything yet, including the Kohanim. And so therefore, no problem. What about Mincha? On a typical day where there's a meal separating between Shacharis and Mincha, it's called lunch, what we call lunch. So at that point in time now, so because we ate, so Kohanim can no longer duchen. Why not? So the Gemara is going to say, because generally speaking, meals included also drink. And drink at the time was not water, right? Water is a modern phenomena. But back in the day, so it would drink when meant wine. And so what happened was that there was slight intoxication. And you can't duchen while under the influence. And so that's why on a typical day where you ate before mincha, so you're certainly not drunk enough to daven, meaning obviously you're going to daven, but for the Kohanim to duchen, so there's a higher threshold in terms of what is considered under the influence, and therefore Kohanim are not going to be duchening at Mincha. And so that's on a typical day, but on a day where we're not eating, otherwise known as a fast day, so that we have no concern, there's no regard for inebriation, because nobody's eating, nobody's drinking. Under those occasions, now the Kohanim are going to be duchening on every occasion. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. Okay, good. Ma'amados. Here we are now up to the point of ma'amados. Elohim ma'amados. So these are the ma'amados, meaning the Mishnah now is going to treat us to what exactly are the ma'amados. It's something that we no longer have. We no longer have the base of Mikdash. But back in the day, what were they? Lefisha namar. So the Mishnah goes on to explain. Tavis ben Yisro's karbon lachmi. So it is... It is our carbon. V'chi heich carbono shel adam kravu hu einu omen al gabav. Now, when we say it's our carbon, so it's a public carbon. Okay, it's carbon sibur, right? And in back in Masechta Shkalim, we went over at length in terms of money is going to be collected from every Jew, and that money is going to be accumulated, aggregated, and brought into the Beis Hamikdash, and from with that public money, so we're going to be buying the public carbonos, otherwise known as carbon sibur. Good. We discussed this at length back in Shkalim. Meanwhile, generally speaking, when you have a carbon, what does the owner of the carbon do? He stands directly over the carbon. He does smicha over the carbon, and if necessary, he does vidui over the carbon. So generally speaking, the owner is right there by the carbon. Can the owner of the carbon tamid be standing over the carbon? No, it's impossible, because the owner is the entire Jewish people. The public owns the carbon. So what are you going to do now? You're going to have every Jew standing over the carbon? That's impossible. Mm-hmm. So what do we do? So what we have is representation. That's the ma'amados. Ma'amados are Jewish representatives, representatives from Yisrael, meaning not Kohanim, not Levim, who are going to be representing the Jewish people over the carbon. Now, where are they going to be? This part gets a little bit confusing. So I'll give it away. It took me a while to really clarify, get straight in my own head. And that is that there are actually going to be two locations of the ma'amados. There's going to be one a representative group of the ma'amados that are going to be in Yerushalayim. There's going to be a second representative group of the ma'amados that are going to be in their hometown. Okay. Once you know that, the Mishnah is going to get a lot clearer. But anyway, there seems to be two groups. So the Mishnah goes on to explain. Hitkinu nevi'im harishon me'esrim v'arba mishmaros al kol mishmar mishmar haya ma'amad b'Yerushalayim shel kohanim shel levi'im v'shel yisraelim. So the shifts of 24, how the Kohanim are broken up into 24 subgroups, so that we've already discussed numerous times, that's called the Mishmaros. And the Levim are also broken up as well. Rashi over here points out, the Levim are doing the Avoda? Yeah. Not the Avoda like the Kohanim. Kohanim are doing actual Avoda, but the Levim are also doing an Avoda job, and that's Shir. In other words, they're the ones responsible for the Shir, which is done while pouring the Nesachim of the Karbanos. Fine. What about the Yisraelim? So now the Yisraelim who don't have active participation, but nevertheless, what we're going to do is we're going to set up representatives that are going to be representing the entire Jewish people, and they're going to have their responsibility. What is their responsibility? So it's ma'amados. What does that mean? It means that this representative group are going to be during the week of Mishmar. Because remember, Mishmar is for a full week from Shabbos to Shabbos. So these group of people are, of Jews that are serving as representatives, they're going to be fasting on each of the days of the ma'amados, right? That's a lot of fasting, but obviously you're eating the nights. And on top of that, they also have a special Kriya Satorah that they're going to be saying as well. The Mishnah is going to go through it together with us. Yeah, so right. I know the word. The Mishnah uses the word "mamad" in description of the Kohanim, but that's Mishmar. I mean, that's the reference of the Mishmar. Yeah. So he gives mana Mishmar la'alos Kohanim Levim olim liYerushalayim. So when the Mishmar arrives, so the Kohanim Levim are going to go to Yerushalayim. V'Yisrael sheba oso Mishmar miskansen la'areihem. And as far as the Yisraelim are concerned, so they gather in their city. So again, I told you it's a little bit confusing, but the Mishnah over here now is describing that there is a section of this representative group that are going to be not going to Yerushalayim, but they're going to be doing their ma'amad fasting and kriyas haTorah in their respective cities. The Koran, and they're going to be reading from the Torah. B'maisa Bracious. Now, what we'll do is we'll skip the parentheses. Okay, a little bit unclear in terms of whether they should be here, they shouldn't be here. Anyway, we're going to skip. And B'yom HaRishon. Now, what are they going to be reading? So remember, it's a whole week. It's from Sunday to Shabbos. So they're going to be reading from actual Maisa Bracious. So B'yom HaRishon Bracious Vayihi Rekiah. So they're going to be reading Bracious and they're going to be reading Vayihi Rekiah. Now, why specifically those two parshos? So this is a lot of laning halachas, which I'm not going to go into now. When we get to Megillah, Masechta Megillah, so we're going to be spending a lot of time on this. So right now, I'll just say it really succinctly. So you need three aliyahs. You need Kohen Levi v'Yisrael. You also need minimum three psukim per aliyah. You also need, in principle, you need a total of 10 psukim in total. Okay, so as a result of that, so that's why for each day, we're going to be opting into a certain number of parshios. Even though in principle, in theory, what we want to do on Sunday is read the Maisa Brishis of Yom Rishon, and on Monday, Maisa Brishis of Yom Sheni, etc., etc. But because of this whole complement of halachas that we have regarding Kriyas HaTorah, so therefore we just need more. Okay, and in terms of that, that's a basic outline in terms of how it breaks up more specifically. So when we get to Megillah, we'll discuss it in much more detail. So B'yom Rishon Brishis VeYirakia B'Sheni Yirakia VeKavu Amayim. Bishlishi kavamayim vihima aros. Brivia yihima aros vayishritzu. Hamayim. Bechamishi yishritzu hamayim vitosei aretz. Bishishi vitosei aretz vayichul hashamayim. Okay, oh, fine. So we just went through what would be lained on each day's within the ma'amados. Parsha gedola koronos abishnayim. So if you had a big parsha just simply means that there's enough psukim to make up two aliyahs. So then you're going to have two people reading from it, meaning that will be two aliyahs. Ve'aksana biyachid. And as far as a small parsha is concerned, so then one aliyah. So a small parsha obviously is going to be made up of three psukim. You can't have a parsha smaller than three psukim. And then in terms of a big parsha, so presumably that is going to be six psukim. Although, to be fair, and this is going to be a discussion in the Gemara Megillah, so let's say, for example, the first parsha, right, Bracious. So that has five psukim, not six psukim. Okay, the Gemara Megillah is going to deal with that particular issue. B'shachris, b'musaf, u'v'mincha. Now, when are they going to be going in and laning? So shachris, musaf, and mincha. Nechnasim v'korin, alpiyam k'korin es ha-shma. So they're going to be reading it, now they're going to be reading a ba'al peh, like we read shma ba'al peh. Meaning in the morning and in the evening, so we have a mitzvah to say shma, and so we do so ba'al peh, even though it is a chelek of Torah Shebichtzav, but we read it by heart. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach, I believe. So it says that Dvarim Shebichsav e efshar lamram ba'peh, that you're not allowed to say any Torah Shebichsav, you're not allowed to say by heart. You have to read it from Miksav. And meanwhile, the Mishnah over here says that Shema you can say by heart. Okay, Tosos over there, right? A lot of Rishonim get into this discussion in terms of why we do it, but we do it, and the Mishnah says that we do it, that we say Shema ba'peh. And then the Mishnah says the same thing is true regarding the Kriya. The Kriya of the Yom for the Ma'amados is done ba'peh as well. Now, the Mishnah is over here a little bit confusing because it certainly sounded previously like we're reading it from the Chumash and we're reading it from a Sefer Torah. We're not doing it by heart. So Rashi says, well, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question and the Gemara is going to address that. Erev Shabbos b'mincha lo ayu nechnasim b'mnei kavod haShabbos. Now, Erev Shabbos and Mincha, so the Ma'amados would not be doing their special Kriyas HaTorah because Shabbos is coming. You got to prepare for Shabbos. Kol yom sheish bo halal, Ein ma'amid b'shachris. Okay, any day that there's halo, so they wouldn't do the ma'amid in shachris. Now remember, so the ma'amid means that in addition to fasting, there'd be a special kriyas haTorah, which would be done with every tefillah. Would be done at shachris, it would be done at mincha, etc., etc. However, if there was any kind of conflict, so the Mishnah now is telling us what to do under those circumstances. So let's say, for example, you had halo in the morning. Right, we just had eight consecutive days of challah, otherwise known as Chanukah. So then what we would do is that we would bypass Ma'amid, meaning they wouldn't do Kriyas HaTorah. Rashi says it's a function of time. Okay, here's where it gets a little bit sad, because how long does it take for us to say halo? I don't want to give out a number. Okay. But now because Rashi writes, because halo takes so long, so therefore there's no time for the Kriyas HaTorah for Ma'amid. Okay. Karban Musaf. Now, on a day where there's a carbon musaf, ain b'ne'ila. So then what we would do is that we would not be doing the mamad during ne'ila. Now, what days are both musaf and there's ne'ila? Stay tuned. And carbon eitzim ain b'mincha. Now, if there's a carbon eitzim, okay, we'll explain what that means better in just a moment. So then ain b'mincha. So then they wouldn't be doing the mamad at mincha. Div Rabbi Kiva, now everything we just laid out, is according to Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Amala ben Azar ben Azar says Kachaya. Rabbi Yeshua Shoneh. Rabbi Yeshua would teach it a little bit differently. Notably, Karban Musaf, Ein B'mincha. So if there's a Karban Musaf, so then we wouldn't do the Mamad of Mincha. And Karban Eitzim, and if there was Karban Eitzim, Ein B'ne'ila. So then we wouldn't be doing the Mamad during the Ila. Chazar Rabbi Kiva Leoshoneh Ben Azai. And Rabbi Kiva says, okay, I have Charata And we'll do it like that. We'll say it like that. Zman atzei kohanim v'ha'am. Okay. Now, we talk about karban etzim. What is karban etzim? So the Mishnah now is going to go on to describe and explain to us what exactly is karban etzim. So, Tisha. There are going to be 9 days on the calendaric year where you're going to have special karban being brought by particular families. Okay, just to give a short history lesson, we came back in to build by Sheni, and we were really small in numbers. Ezra, Nehemiah, together with other Talmidei Chachamim, but in terms of the actual number of Jews that went back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to build the second base of Mikdash, it was really small representation. And not only that, but it was not the wealthy people. It was the poor people. And so what ended up happening is that although we had the second base of Mikdash, but at its beginning, so it was really poorly funded. And so what we need is that we needed private donors. So what we had is that private donors gave money, or in this particular case, actually donated the material, the wood, in order to provide fuel for the Mizbeach. Because these families came forward and because they funded, so what the Beis HaMikdash did is that they basically gave them special days in which they're going to be bringing a special karban. So there were a total of 8 families and 9 days over the course of the year in which these families brought their karban. For this family on these days, on these 9 dates of the year, so it was the Yontif. We touched on it earlier in the Masechta. Here the Mishnah now is going to be giving us the names of the 8 families and the 9 days. Now, how do we get from 8 families to 9 days? That's we'll see in just a moment. Zman etzei kohanim v'am tisha. So it's the total of 9 dates over the course of the year. Be'echa ben Nisan b'nei Arach ben Yehuda, be'esem b'tamuz b'nei David ben Yehuda. I'm just going to run through this. Be'chamisha ba'av b'nei Parsh ben Yehuda, b'shiva bo b'nei Yonada ben Rechev, be'esrim bo b'nei Sina ben Binyamin, be'chamisha asar bo b'nei Zesu ben Yehuda. V'imahem kohanim v'levim v'chom misha ta b'shifto uvenei gunvei ale uvenei kotzei kitzios. Okay, that was number 6. Be'esrim bo b'nei peches moab ben Yehuda, be'esrim be'elol b'nei edyon ben Yehuda. So now we just were introduced to the 8 families. Each one of those families is now going to be assigned a date on the year in which they're going to be bringing their special carbon etzim. And now, how do we get to a 9th date and there are only 8 families? Be'echad b'teves, on the 1st day of Teves, shavu b'nei parush shnia. So b'nei parush would come back and they would be doing it a second time. Apparently this b'nei parush family, so they donated not once, but they donated twice within those first years of the second base of Mikdash. And so therefore they were given 2 calendaric dates in which they are going to be bringing their special carbon etzim. Okay. Now, I ran through it. A lot of these dates, not a lot. Some of these dates are really interesting. We already touched on earlier in the Masechta. I'm just going to highlight that on the tenth day of Av. So that was the Bnei Sina Ben Binyamin. So they had their special carbon etzim day on the 10th day of Av. Now that's interesting because that's immediately after the 9th day of Av. And the Gemara earlier talked about an occasion where, and it happens pretty often, where Tisha B'Av falls on a Shabbos. It's Nidchetz, pushed off now to the next day. So calendarically now it's on the 10th day of Av. For the vast majority of the Jewish people, there's no conflict. For this particular family, it served as a conflict. Because now they have their special carbon etzim day, which is the 10th day of Av, which is now on the same day. It's concurrent with now the observed day of Tisha B'Av. What did that family do? So we discussed that earlier in the Masechta. Okay, that's one day we're going to highlight. And we're going to highlight just one other day right now, and the Mishnah is going to do so, and that's the 1st day of Teves. The 1st day of Teves, so that's a special day. Now, we just did it, right? The 1st day of Teves, so a lot of things are happening on that day. It's Rosh Chodesh. It's Chanukah. So there's a Musaf. There's a Hallel. So now, Be'echad B'Teves. So the Mishnah now is going to be highlighting. And for this family, there's also now Karban Etzim. So Be'echad B'Teves L'Hayu Bo Mamad. So on this day of Echad Beteves, so there simply is no Mamad. Shaya ba Halal, so there was Halal, so that knocks out Mamad of the morning. Karban Musaf, the Karban Etzim. So there's a Karban Musaf, so that knocks out the Mamad of Mincha, and Karban Etzim. Okay, so there's just simply no Mamad on the 1st day of Teves, simply because it gets knocked out for all of these other tefillas that are done on that day. Tefillas, karbanos. Okay. All right. This is a good place to pause in the Mishnah. We're not stopping. We're gonna continue. We're gonna finish up the Mishnah. I'm gonna do a little bit of Gemara this morning, but now we're gonna be turning our attention. So far in the Mishnah, so we've covered the basic idea of duchening and the times of the year we're gonna be duchening every tefillah opportunity of the day. So three times in total. Okay, again, we're going to clarify that later this morning. We went over this idea of ma'amados, that there are Jewish representatives that are both going to be in their hometown and also a section of them that are going to be in Yerushalayim. They're going to be representing the Jewish people because the entire Jewish people are bringing the carbon seabor. You can't have every Jew standing over the carbon. So they have a representative group. This representative group are called the ma'amados. So what are they doing that week? They're going to be fasting. In addition to that, they're going to be laning from the Torah on each one of the days. Okay, that is called the Ma'amados, and we spent some time. Also, there's something called the Karban Eitzim. Karban Eitzim is that a select number of families are going to be given special dates during the year in which they're going to be bringing a special Karban Eitzim. On the day they're bringing Karban Eitzim, it's a quasi-enter for that family. So the Mishnah went over the nine dates of the year that are given to these eight families, because one of the families actually are given two Karban Eitzim days. Okay. Now, we're pausing, and we're moving on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah now is going to be describing the fast days that were set up to remember Churban Beis HaMikdash. Chamisha Dvarim. We are in Chaf Vav and Aleph. We are two lines from the bottom. Chamisha Dvarim. Iras Avasen B'Shevas HaBetamos. V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. So there were five tragedies that occurred on Shevas HaBetamos, 17th day of Tammuz, and five tragedies on Tisha B'Av. V'Shevas HaBetamos. On the 17th day of Tammuz, as we're now in the Amud Beis, so Nishtabru Haluchos. So the Luchos were broken. Ubatal HaTamid. The Tamid was no longer being brought in the Beis HaMikdash. V'hufka Ha'ir. The city was penetrated. V'saraf Apostomos HaTorah. So one of the Romans burnt the Torah. Now, obviously, the Torah over here probably is making reference to, in other words, there was a, so to say, a golden standard Torah, meaning a Torah that basically was part of our Masorah, an integral part of our Masorah, and probably that Torah is being described over here. Ve'em Itzelem Behechal. Now, Itzelem was set up in the Hechal, this part of the Mishnah, this tragedy is being described on the 17th day of Tammuz, so a little bit unclear in terms of who was the one responsible for putting up the Itzelem. Rashi writes over here that this takes us all the way back to Menasha, which means that historically the Mishnah is a little bit choppy, meaning the Mishnah is describing events that occurred. Now, in terms of the breaching of the city walls, so that occurred for the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Recall that for the first Beis HaMikdash, let's start here. The Navi itself does not give us a date in which it happened in terms of the first Beis HaMikdash. It just simply said that it happened during the the fourth month of the year, meaning Nisan being month number one, Tammuz being the fourth month. So the Navi just simply says that it happened the fourth month. So, but we have a Misorah that it was the 17th day. Was it the 17th day for the first and second Beis HaMikdash? Probably not. Meaning the first Beis HaMikdash probably did not happen on the 17th day. I think we reported, what did we say, ninth day? For the first Beis HaMikdash? Okay, regardless. So the breaching of the wall is the first and second Beis HaMikdash. The burning of the Sefer Torah certainly was during the second Beis HaMikdash, meaning whoever Apostomus is, but that's Roman. That's Roman. So that was the second Beis HaMikdash. And then the Tzelem that was put up in the Heichal, so assuming like Rashi that goes back to Menashe, that jumps us back to the first Beis HaMikdash. So a little bit where the Mishnah is choppy in terms of not following any particular chronological order. Okay, those are the five tragic events of Shivas HaBetamos. Now we move to Tisha B'Av. So B'Tisha B'Av Nigzar Alavasena Shal Yichansu La'aret. So that's the Meraglim, that's in the Midbar. V'char V'Abayis B'Rishonu V'Shnia. First and second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. V'Nilkada Beitar. Beitar was destroyed. A little over 50 years after Churban Bayis Sheni, so a revolution that was really promoted strongly by Rabbi Akiva and led by person we call Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba, Bar Koziva. So he led, unfortunately, an unsuccessful revolution against the Romans. And the Rambam describes, I just looked up the Rambam right prior to the daf this morning. So the Rambam describes how hundreds of thousands of Jews lived in Beitar, and that's where the Romans squashed the revolution, killed Bar Kokhba. Okay. The Venechrisha Ha'ir. And the city was plowed over. Now, historically, I can't help you. I don't know. I just simply don't know in terms of when exactly the city was plowed over. But in other words, there was a historical event where probably the Romans plowed over the city of Yerushalayim, which is just further reinforces that we're not building it back anytime soon. Okay. So those are the five events. Unfortunately, there are more tragedies that we can add retrospectively to the ninth day of Av, notably the Inquisition, Spanish Inquisition, 1492, and others as well. But it obviously serves as the most tragic day. Mishenichnas Av Mematim Simcha. Now, some halachas that are associated. So first of all, upon entering into the month of Av, so we diminish in Simcha. Shabbos Chal Tisha B'Av Lios Besocha. Now, the week that Tisha B'Av falls in on. Now, I know that we have a complement of halachas regarding 3 weeks, 9 days, etc., etc. But right now, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah focuses only on Shavuot Shechabo, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out on. Now, regardless of when Tisha B'Av falls out, Tisha B'Av can fall out any time between Sunday through Shabbos. I know the calendar works that Tisha B'Av are not falling out on some of those days, but meanwhile, the Mishnah's focus over here is on the week that Tisha B'Av falls out. So on the week that Tisha B'Av falls out, and later we're going to qualify, we're really focusing on the days prior to Tisha B'Av, not the days after Tisha B'Av. So that means to say that if Tisha B'Av fell out on a Monday, so we're really focusing only on Sunday. If Tisha B'Av fell out on a Friday, then we'd be looking at the whole week, Sunday through Friday. Okay. But not the days afterwards, meaning if Tisha B'Av fell on a Monday, so Tuesday, Wednesday after Tisha B'Av, so those days are not being discussed right now. So, Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios B'Tocha, Aser Melesaper Melechabes. Can't get a haircut, you can't launder your clothing. Uve Chamishi Mutar Mimnei Kavra Shabbos. Now, let's say we're talking about Thursday, i.e., Tisha B'Av is falling out on a Friday. So now you have Thursday. So Thursday you're allowed to launder and presumably get a haircut because of Kavod Shabbos, meaning Friday obviously is going to be Tisha B'Av. So when are we going to prepare for Shabbos? So under those circumstances, we have an allowance to go ahead and to launder and get a haircut in preparation for Shabbos. Now, again, I know there is a lot of minhagim, especially amongst the Ashkenazim, in terms of backing up a lot of these restrictions earlier. But from the Mishnah's perspective, the Mishnah is focusing right now on Shavuot Shechabo. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yechal adam shnei tavshilim on Erev Tisha B'Av. Okay, so that was quick, meaning the Mishnah just went right through now all the way up to Erev Tisha B'Av. So a person is not to eat two cooked meals, lo yechal basav lo yishtel yayin, not allowed to eat meat, drink wine on Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Shimon Gamliel omer yishaneh. So what exactly does that mean? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayiv Bekfiya Samita V'lahodulu Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda had people turning over their bed, the way Rashi describes it, and they wouldn't sleep in the overturned bed, meaning they'd sleep on the floor. The Chachamim did not agree with that practice. Again, the Gemara is going to explain that in much more detail. Amr Shimon Gamliel Lo Hayu Yamim Tovim LiYisrael Chamisha Asar Ba'av Uvi Yom HaKippurim. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that there are 2 days on the calendar which are happy. In fact, they are the happiest days for the Jewish people. And no days are happier than the 15th day of Av and Yom Kippur. Shebahen, and it's on these days, Benos Yushalam Yosem B'Chle Lavan Shu'alim. Women will go out with borrowed white clothing. Shalalivayishas Misha Einlo. Now, the reason why everyone would be borrowing is because if they required people to use their own clothing, so not everybody has, and so we don't want to embarrass people who do not have the means. Kol akelim tuanim tvila. Every one of the clothing is going to require tvila in the mikvah. In other words, because you have a mixture of very religious girls, not so religious girls, and the not so religious girls are not careful about making sure that their clothing are in a state of tahara. So you tovel all the clothing. Uvenos yushlam yotzos v'cholz bekramim. And they would go out and they would dance in the vineyard, Mahayo Omros, and what would they say? Bachor Sanainecha Ure Ma'ata Borelacha. And be careful about what you choose. Alti Tenecha Benoi. So Tenecha Bemishpacha. Don't look at beauty, look at Yichus. Shekar Achim Behavalayofi, Yisha Yiras Hashem, Hitzis Alal. and the pasuk in Mishle, and really what's most important is Yerushalayim. V'omer tenula mipri adavi alu b'shar maaseh v'chenu omer tse'enu reina b'nosion b'melch shloma ba'atara she'atra lo imo b'yom chasun aso v'yom simchas libo b'yom chasun aso. The Gemara Darshan is the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Ze mantor, it's a reference to mantor v'yom simchas libo ze binyan beis hamikdash she'ibane b'mher v'yameinu. Now, mind you, obviously the Mishnah is ending off with a tefillah that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. Obviously, the Mishnah over here is being penned, a little over 100 years after Churban Bayis Sheni. And also keep in mind that this is the last Mishnah here in Tanis that we just went over, even though we have a lot more Gemara to do. But as we already pointed out, all the Mishnahs are front loaded. Let's do a little bit of Gemara. I know I'm going fast right now. B'shosha prakim Mishnah Kwan Mosim Skapem Tanios Ma'amados Mi'ika Mosaf. So the Gemara says the opening of the Mishnah was really confusing because it talked about how Tanios, Ma'amados, and then talks about Musaf. There's no Musaf on a fast day, There's no Musaf on a fast day. Let's leave it at that. Chesur Mechzer V'Achik Tani B'Shosha Prakim Kohanim Nosim Miskapeim Kol Zman Shemispalim. So the Gemara says here's what the Mishnah meant. What the Mishnah meant is that there are three times a year where Kohanim are going to be duchening on every opportunity. V'yishmehem arba pamim b'yom. Sometimes it can be as many as four times over the course of the day. Sharchus mosaf mincha uni'ila. Uni'ila sharim. V'elohen shlosha prakim. And the three occasions are going to be Tanias mamados v'yom kippurim. So what the Mishnah means is that, look, the Kohanim are going to be duchening on numerous occasions. On some of those occasions, it could be as many as four times. How many occasions? So on three occasions, i.e. fast days. Meaning, Tanios, Mamados, Yom Kippurim, all three of those categories are fast days. Because there's no eating, therefore there is no concern about getting intoxicated. Therefore, Kohanim are going to be duchening on every occasion. Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Baravua, Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. This idea that we're duchening on every occasion when it's a fast day, so not every Tan is on board with that. That cheats Rabbi Meir. Avachacham Emar, Meshachrus Amosav, Yesh Behem, Niskiyas Kapayim, Minchos Ne'ila, Ein Behem, Niskiyas Kapayim. However, the Chachamim are of the opinion that even on a fast day, only on Shachris and Mosaf, not Mincha, not Ni'ila. Man Chachamim Rav Yehuda Yidetanya. The Gemara says that it actually is a three-way machlokus amongst the Tanayim. Shachris and Mosaf, Mincha, Ni'ila, Kol Yesh Mehem, Nisiyas Kapayim, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So, according to Rabbi Meir, Shachris, Mosaf, Mincha, Ni'ila are all occasions in which Kohanim gonna duchen. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shachris Amosav Yesh Behem Nisiyas Kapayim, Mincha Ne'ila Ein Behem Nisiyas Kapayim. So Rav Yehuda says, no, only for Shachris Amosav, Kohen are going to duchen, not for Mincha, not for Ne'ila. Even on a fast day. Okay, stay tuned. Rabbi Yossi Amar Ne'ila Yesh Behem Nisiyas Kapayim, Mincha Ein Behem Nisiyas Kapayim. And Rav Yossi is of the opinion that yes Ne'ila, no Mincha, for as far as duchen is concerned. B'mai Kamifle, Gemara says, what's the Nekuda Machlokas? So, Rabbi Meir Sefer Kol Yomatayim Amai Lo Parsha Kohen Yadai B'Minchas Mishum Shechrus. So, on a standard day, so the Kohanim were not duchen because they're intoxicated by the afternoon. We already discussed this. Good. So, Ayina Leka Shechrus, but on a fast day, so nobody's intoxicated, nobody's eating, nobody's drinking. So, therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, on a fast day, Kohanim are going to be duchening on every opportunity. Rabbi Yehuda Sefer Shachrus Amosaf Dechol Yomalo Shechrus Lo Gazur B'Rabbanan. So look, Shachris and Mosaf have a standard day. There is no Shachris. You're not eating before Shachris. You're not eating before Mosaf. And so therefore, Kohanim are going to duchen. However, Mincha Ne'ila dechol yom shchicha Shachris gazru b'rabbanan. Now, for Mincha and Ne'ila on a given day, so there is going to be eating prior to that. So even on a fast day, so the Chachamim were gozer. The Chachamim just did not want us to habituate having duchening during Mincha and Ne'ila of a fast day. You're gonna do that even on a non-fast day. And Rabbi Yossi suffered Mincha de Isa b'chol yuma gazru b'rabbanan, Ne'ila de Lesa b'chol yuma lo gazru b'rabbanan. And as far as Rav Yossi is concerned, so Rav Yossi has a limited gezerah. The gezerah is only for Mincha, not for Ne'ila. Why? Because Mincha we do daily. So then the Chachamim were concerned. But when it comes to Ne'ila, Ne'ila is not done daily. Ne'ila is only done on a fast day. So therefore, there's no reason to make a gezerah vis-a-vis Ne'ila. We're going to pause right over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick up with what is in fact the halacha, meaning what do we do on a fast day in terms of duchening. Again, this halacha is more relevant for the Sfardim than for the Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim don't duchen here in Chutz Lars pretty much at all. But anyway, we'll talk Tomorrow we'll start off with what the halacha actually is. Okay, Ad Kan. That was a lot of information in the course of today's daf, and I'm sorry I went a little too quickly. We ended off the third parak of the Masechta this morning. We covered when are you locked into fasting? Three shitas amongst the Tanayim, whether it's Netzachama, whether it's Chatzos, or it's whether 9 hours into the day. At what point precisely, if we started fasting, but we no longer need to fast, i.e. it rained, at what point are we locked into the fasting? So three opinions amongst the Tanayim. And then we ended off the parak with numerous stories of we no longer needed to fast on such an occasion. So first of all, how much credit do we give ourselves? Shmuel HaKatan did not want to give us a lot of credit. And then also, in terms of in the event that we call off the fast, so we then have a festive meal and we do halal specifically in that order, unless you live in the town of B'nai Mechuzah. Okay. And then we started the fourth and final parak of the Masechta, in which we opened up with a word on duchening, not just a word, but we talked about duchening, we talked about the ma'amados, we talked about the carbon eitzim. Those are the first three big topics of the fourth parak. And then we talked about the tragedies that had occurred, both on Sheva Sabatamas, five in total, then on Tisha B'Av, also five in total. The Mishnah just touched on some halachas regarding the restrictions when you approach Tisha B'Av on Shavuot Shechabo and on Erev Tisha B'Av. That's all the Mishnah covered, and just a sparse amount of information. And then the happy days of the year, 15th day of Av and Yom Kippur. So the happiest days of the year is women would go out, present themselves. It was shidduch opportunities on those days. The Gemara is going to spend a good amount of time explaining 15th day of Av. That seems to be like a non-date. What's so specific? What's so special about the 15th day of Av? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss that at a later point in time. And then what we covered is the idea that on a fast day, you're going to be duchening at every opportunity. So because you're not eating and therefore there's no concern of shechrus. But the Gemara points out that that sheet is Reb Meir. There are two other sheets, Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi. And tomorrow we start off with which of the positions do we follow la halacha.